The actual title for our class today is A Roadmap to Enlightenment. And I thought I would say that because that's the string that I'm going to pick it up from. You know, a little more than 200 years ago, two men and a group of their staff, their party, set out from St. Louis, where I set out from. And their commission from the President of the United States was to find out what's out there. No one had ever been from the Mississippi River, or trappers, Indians, but they didn't know what was out there. They had no roadmap. And of course, we're talking about the Lewis and Clark Party. And it's a wonderful chapter in American history. If you don't know much about it, I really recommend reading it. Deeply inspired. Those were great souls. And they made that journey with no roadmap, there to all the way to the Pacific Ocean, to the headwaters of the Columbia River flows into the Pacific Ocean, somewhere between the Washington-Oregon coast now. And they lost one man only on that whole journey, which took 2 years, and that man had appendicitis. But other than that, they fulfilled that commission, and they opened up a new chapter in the history of humanity on our planet. So this was 1804 to 1806, in that transitional period between the end of Kali Yuga and the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, which began proper in 1900. And no maps, only trying to feel the manifest destiny of this country, and they did. Well, most of us, when we set out without roadmaps, are not that successful. But here we are in Dwapara Yuga, and look at, in those short 200 years, look what we have at our disposal. We have MapQuest. You can go. MapQuest, for those of you who don't know, you type in where you are on your computer, you type in where you want to go, and it tells you how to get there. And so, for our purposes, let's call it Soul Quest. But it's very like the spiritual path. We need to start from where we are, and that means honesty, introspection, really saying, it doesn't do any good if you want to leave from St. Louis to say, well, I'm really in Chicago. You're not from Chicago. And you're not going to get to where you want to go if you say you're in Chicago. You have to start where you are, because that's how God can work with us. Every one of us is from a different, I mean, just think about it. All of us in this room are occupying a particular point in time and space, and each one is different. From every one of you looking up at Master's picture, you're seeing it from a slightly different angle, aren't you? Every single one of us. And so we have to start from where we are, because that's how God can bring us in his magnificent way to where we want to go. And for each one of us, the soul quest is different. We can't take somebody else's route because it won't work for us. We can only take the route that's laid out for us. And what determines that route? It's as Jyotish has been saying, quoting Master, an act creates tendency, tendency creates character, character creates destiny. So somewhere back in time, we had a thought, we took an action, and that has led us to where we are now. But we need to understand how close we are to the goal at this point in our incarnation. But in with this soul quest, as I said, we start in typing up where we are, and then we have to type in where we want to go. And the more clearly we can describe it, the better our chances are of getting there. If we just say, oh, somewhere out on the West Coast, we won't get any answer, will we? But if we say a very specific destination, I want to go to the where the Columbia River pours into the ocean, we'll get there. And I thought, for us in typing in our soul quest, let me read to you what the Bhagavad Gita says about where our journey ends, the roadmap to self-realization, to enlightenment. So where are we going? Krishna, Arjuna asks Krishna, O Krishna, what are the signs of one who has attained calm wisdom and is established in union with God? How does he speak and sit and walk? O Arjuna, one who has put away all desires, being wholly contented in the self, may be considered settled in wisdom. He whose consciousness is unshaken by affliction and is not excited by good fortune, who no longer hungers for earthly affection and is without fear and anger, such a man qualifies to be considered a muni of steady discrimination. He who under all circumstances is without attachment and is neither elated by goodness nor depressed by evil is a man of established wisdom. The man who merely abstains from sense enjoyments may forget them for a time, but the taste for them will linger. That person, however, who beholds the Supreme Spirit loses the taste for anything but the infinite. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, even the wise man devoted to self-control may sometimes be swept away by the turbulent senses. He who, having subjugated his senses, becomes united with me, remains engrossed in the infinite self, knowing it as the supremely relishable. Only mastery of the senses can bestow the steadfastness of true wisdom. The man of perfect self-control is able to act in this world unaffected by it. Inwardly free of attraction and repulsion, he has attained unshakable inner calmness. Contentment is his who, like the ocean, calmly absorbs into himself all the rivers of desires. One, on the contrary, whose desires trickle outward as if from a pond, is soon drained of energy. That person who knows peace, who relinquishing all energy-draining desires, and who, fully satisfied with his state of desirelessness, no longer sees himself as a separate ego individual. O Arjuna, this state is known as Brahmistiti, absolute oneness with the infinite. Anyone who achieves this state will never again fall into delusion. Even at the moment of death, if one concentrates wholeheartedly on that state, he attains perfect eternal bliss. So that's where we're going. Where we are is where we are right now. But we need to clearly see the connection, just as we get the directions from here to there. And another wonderful gift on this journey, this pilgrim's journey, you know, Swamiji in The New Path, and he uses the illustration of a pilgrim very often. The pilgrim finds his guide. That's when he meets Master. The pilgrim whittles his staff when he's starting off on the journey. And so we are all pilgrims on this journey. But one of the great gifts, having watched the evolution of Ananda these many years, is this new renunciate order, because it makes the steps very clear. And there's also another guide that people use, a wonderful new technological tool and toy that we have now. The people have them in their cars to find out where they're going, the GPS, Global Positioning System. But let's, for our purposes, let's call it the Guru's Path to Self-Realization. And once, some years ago, we were out in Rhode Island doing some programs at our center there, and Dennis Shulman was driving us around, and he had a new GPS in his car, and he was having a lot of fun with it. And he said, the thing I love about it is when you make a mistake, it doesn't get mad at you. If it says, you could get different voices. It's a very polite, dignified, cultured British woman's voice. And she said, turn left in 30 paces, and then, or 30 meters, whatever. And Dennis said, but if you don't do it, she just pauses. She doesn't get mad at you. She just readjusts and says, turn right in 40 blocks, you know. And he said, it's so pleasant. You can't go wrong. Well, the guru's path to self-realization, he doesn't get mad at us. If we make a mistake, if he says, you need to do this or that, and Jyotish and I were talking the other day, and someone was, okay, let's see, how can I put this without making it real specific who it might be? we were talking about the Nyaswami vows, and this person said to me, well, was he really serious about that part of it? And it's sort of like that saying, what part of no don't you understand? What part of the spiritual path and what part of Master's teachings do you think doesn't apply to you? You know, well, everybody else has to do that, but I don't have to do that. But if we can't always live up to it, the guru doesn't get mad. He just readjusts the road, the course. Okay, then do it this way. If that didn't work out for you, then circle around and try it from another access, another entrance on the freeway, you know? He's always adjusting according to our ability to follow his teachings. Isn't that wonderful? It's just so thrilling. We can never get off the path with a guru because he's always finding a new way, a new road to enlightenment for us. And so through Swamiji, Master has come and given us this roadmap to enlightenment, this clarification. It's almost like this renunciate order is the carpool lane. We can just get there real fast with it. We don't have to, you know, just say, oh, I have to get stuck in traffic. We can just say, this makes it so simple and clear. And I'd like to go over the 14 points because what they do for us, we've had many classes in the community already about this, but the more I read them, it's like we're going along, speaking personally, going along on the spiritual path for 38 years, and you think, well, I'm doing pretty good. I've got some momentum behind me. I know where I'm going. But then, through the grace of God and Guru, this wonderful gift has been given to us, this Nyaswami order. And it is the accelerated path to freedom. And let me just read these because even the introduction. What then are the marks of those who I consider of being accepted as true renunciates? This is kind of, just as Jyotish was comparing, you know, the different vows. This is comparing. Arjuna asked Krishna, what are the marks of a realized man? And in these 14 points, Swami is saying, what are aspects for someone who has been made notable progress? It's such a good help. It's like a marker along the way. And so he says, those would be those who have achieved noteworthy progress toward the attainment of the following virtues. And they're echoes of what we read in the Gita. They have no or very few attachments or desires. They are without anger. They accept whatever comes without prejudice and live by the principle, what comes of itself, let it come, non-attachment. They never seek to justify or defend themselves, but accept all judgment by others dispassionately as experiences given them by God for their higher good. They keep in their hearts primarily the company of God. They are indifferent to others' opinions of them. They work without personal motive to please God alone. They are impersonal in the sense of wanting nothing for themselves, but never in the sense of being indifferent to the needs of others. We see all of these, and I'll go on, that was only number six, but this pattern, this beautiful pattern. And, you know, just as we were saying yesterday, the ways of delusion are many, but the warriors that lead us to God are few, because the closer you get to God, the more uniform they are. You hear these same principles being echoed over and over and over again. But what Swamiji is giving, and I know it's so thrilling that 100 new members will be joining the Nyaswami order. But for those of us who have taken vows already, the Tyagi and Brahmachari and Nyaswami, I say this with all sincerity, it's life-changing. I felt an acceptance by God and Guru in a way I had never felt before. Because so many of us and many more were saying, I will do this. I have been doing it mostly, but now I will do this totally to the extent that I can. And it's not rocket science. It's giving up the ego, giving up attachments and desires, not defending your position, not reacting to what other people say or do. It's the simple, basic things of the spiritual life, of any tradition. But what's different for us is that it accelerates our movement towards enlightenment. So going on, number seven, they work without personal motive to please God alone. Number eight, they are impersonal in the sense of wanting nothing for themselves, but never in the sense of being indifferent to the needs of others. They see all beings as striving toward the attainment of Satchidananda, ever-existing, ever-conscious, ever-new bliss, no matter how presently misguiding the efforts of some people may be. Thus, they feel kinship with everyone and with all life. And as we mentioned, Swami has been saying, the more bliss I feel in myself, the more everyone I see is a friend. I understand them. I accept them, be they wise or foolish. Because in Satchidananda, the only point of reference is the kinship with all life, with beyond life as we know it, with all creation. Number 10, they accept nothing as their own, but only as being on loan to them for the benefit of others. I remember many, many years ago, it was actually shortly after Jyotish and I were married, so that was in 1975, and I was putting some things in a dresser, and there was a shirt there. It was just a little cotton shirt, blue, nothing special, but I took it out and I said, what a nice shirt this is. I've never seen you wear this. And Jyotish said, Swami gave it to me. And one could just feel that particular piece of clothing, that particular article, had been owned by someone who had no attachment to anything. And it kind of jumped out at me from all the other things that were there. Number 11. They view pleasure and pain equally as opposite expressions of eternal divine bliss. Number 12, they have meditated daily for years. So again, these are all markers for us, markers to get to the end of the quest that we read about in the Gita. Number 13, They are always happy in themselves. They are impervious to insults, outer suffering, failure, defeat, or disaster. They strive to live the ideal that was voiced by Paramahansa Yogananda of being able to, quote, stand unshaken amidst the crash of breaking worlds. And finally, number 14, they strive to love God unceasingly and ever more deeply in a spirit of utter submission to His will. So it's nice to pause on our journey and say, where are we going? What are the markers that show me how to get there? And then, in these beautiful words of the Gita, or just reading about the life of our guru, looking in his eyes, feeling his presence in meditation, to say, this is where I'm going. And this roadmap to enlightenment, which is the greatest gift any soul can receive. This really, without the guru, and Swami understood that as a young man, he said, I knew I could never, as deep as my yearning was, as painful as my feeling of alienation from God, I know that I could never have found it without the guru. And that's why in the disciple's vow, which we haven't talked about, he said, I know only, the disciple says, only by your grace can I achieve this goal. And so with the grace of the guru, with the guidance of the great ones, with our own discriminating search to find the way out of delusion, we can do it. And we can help each other in this quest. Whenever a friend of ours, Master says, or Swamiji said, that sometimes it would just be with a raise of an eyebrow that he would, Master would communicate something. When we see a dear one straying in error, true friendship is not to say, oh, go ahead and do it. True friendship is to lovingly raise an eyebrow and, sure you want to go there? Where's that going to take you? And so if we can be channels for each other and pilgrims together on this wonderful journey, we will find the wonderful shores of the promise that God has given us to find our freedom eternally in Him.